Has every member had an opportunity to cast their vote? Clerk will close the roll.
The coalition had defeated two attempts to pass a budget, and it looked to be holding firm in round three. Massive tally boards in the front of the chamber showed 62 no votes in red and only 58 yes votes in green. With five members absent, a call of the House was ordered and the chamber was locked down.
Seeing 10 hands, call is in order. Doorman will secure the doors. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Garber.
Some of the absent lawmakers were simply elsewhere in the building, missing on purpose to buy time for Republican leaders to flip votes. Every few minutes, Democrats would move to end the lockdown, prompting at least 10 Republicans to shoot their hands in the air.
Seeing 10 hands, the call is still in order.
1 hour ticked by, then two, with members in their seats, allowed to leave only to use the bathroom. A Democrat streamed Tom Petty's defiant anthem, "I Won't Back Down," on his cell phone. The tension grew as a few Republicans switched their votes. Then the missing members started showing up. They flipped the board from red to green, but Democrats refused to give up. That is until all of the moderate Republicans who had vowed to stand with them began peeling off.
Representative Dietrich votes aye. Representative Heineman votes aye. Representative Kessinger votes aye. Representative Long.
Larry Hibbard was among the last to switch. A rancher from the tiny southeast Kansas community of Toronto, he had lashed out at GOP leaders the day before for quote-unquote bullying members into dropping their demand for a Senate vote on a Medicaid expansion bill that passed the House in March.
We start debating this tonight, and what happens? Leadership comes up here and starts threatening with cuts for each and every one of us.
Hibbard was reacting to House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins, who said rejecting the budget could mean cuts in funding for schools, universities, highways, and prisons.
So I just want to go over some of the things in a little bit bigger detail of what's in here and what you may not get back when it comes back.
Hibbard said he was holding out because of the nearly $1 billion increase in federal funds that expansion would trigger, money that could help the financially strapped hospitals in his district.
Three little hospitals that are struggling, three little hospitals that need every chance they can get to survive.
The anticlimactic end to the battle that Governor Laura Kelly and Democrats hoped would force a showdown on expansion produced mixed reactions. Hawkins and House Speaker Ron Reichman did a quick fist bump. But many of the moderate Republicans who had given in sat quietly as a parade of Democrats vented their frustration.
We all stayed and a bunch of you strayed. I can't believe we can't stay solid for a few hours while there's 135,000 Kansans out there without health insurance.
I vote no because Medicaid expansion cannot wait another year. We have waited too long.
I feel that the people of Kansas lost today.
An emotional Don Heineman, the leader of the 20 or so rebellious Republicans, said he was also disappointed, but he insisted some progress had been made.
We have achieved some assurances that have moved the ball in the right direction.
What assurances are those?
The Senate leadership has committed to running an expansion bill in January. We have received assurances that that bill will be crafted not by a small handful of senators, but by an interim study committee.
A politically balanced committee, Heineman says, that will use Governor Kelly's expansion bill as a starting point. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Jim McLean in Topeka.